Rachel. Welcome back to the Be the Girl study. It's so good to have you guys here. I have loved delving into the Word of God and asking myself some hard questions like, how can I be the girl? As you know, I've picked a few topics for us to walk through the book of Ruth. And today I want to talk to you about commitment. Be the girl that stays with her commitment. You know, guys, we live in a world today where it's so easy to get out of the commitments we make. We say that we'll help or we'll volunteer. Maybe we'll watch a friend's child or we'll make a cake for an event. And something happens and we don't follow through with our commitment. And I became under such conviction when I started studying what commitment is, because I realized how many times I've maybe let a friend down because I didn't follow through with my commitment. So when we're going to talk about be the girl, I want you to be the girl that sticks with her commitment. As you know, we started this series because our women's conference is coming up on February the 27th. I don't want you guys to miss this study. I don't want you to miss this conference. It's going to be such a great time to come together. So make sure that you check out online womenofinfluence.today, get your tickets, and be a part of the women's conference. So in preparing for the women's conference, that's when I realized I want to take a little more time to talk to you about how to be the girl, not just a one-day conference, but actually touch on key points, key strategies to become the woman that God created you to be. As you know, in the first week together, we talked about be the girl that's resilient and to stick with that resiliency. Last week, we talked about be the girl that empowers others. And there are many times that we just need to encourage and empower our friends. But today, we're going to talk about be the girl that's committed. So let me ask you a question. What have you committed to that you didn't follow through? Now, you know, in our coaching time together, in our Bible study time together, what I love to do is actually, you know what I do? I put you on the spot. Yeah, I want to go deep with you. I want you to open the Word of God with me. I want you to have a pen and paper. I want you to ask yourself some hard questions. I want you to get to know you. I want you to be accountable for your choices and who you are. And that's why we're doing this study together. You know, the definition of commitment is a pledge or obligation to follow through with a certain course of action. It's a pledge that you make, a commitment that you make to follow through with the course of action. How many times have you said, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll help. But you didn't stay focused to follow through with the intended goal. And that's why I think there's such a lack of commitment today. So if you have your Bibles, let's delve into the book of Ruth and let's talk about how Naomi and Ruth truly understood what commitment is. So we're going to actually look at Ruth 1, verse 15. And you know, before we do that, I want to share a quote that I think is really good. Abraham Lincoln said, commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. Commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. So ask yourself right now, have I made a whole lot of promises that I didn't see become a reality? Do I struggle with my word? Do I struggle following through with things? That's the question I want you to ask yourself in this study. So let's look at the book of Ruth together. Ruth 1:15. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. So go back with her. Now, if you've been following with us, you know that the story is that Naomi and her husband and her two sons made their way during a famine from Bethlehem into Moab. We realize that it literally took anywhere from 9 months to a year for them to journey into a land where there was food. They stayed there for 10 years, and during this time, Naomi lost her husband through death and her two sons through death. And now she has these two precious daughter-in-laws, and she heard word that there was once food again now in Judea, that she's going to make her way back home to Bethlehem. And she's given her daughter permission, both of her daughter-in-laws, permission to go back to their families. Now, I want us to talk a little bit, you guys, because I mentioned to you, when you read the Word of God, make sure that you step in to history, that you begin to say, what would I do? What would I feel? What would be my responses? You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged stone. that it pierces deep. So when we read the Word of God, God is speaking, God is acting, God is teaching. These aren't just stories. This is the living, active Word of God. So I step into this story of Ruth and I ask myself, as a mother-in-law with two daughter-in-laws, how would I feel? And that's why we talked about last week that she released them. She released both of her daughter-in-laws to go home to their families. But what we realize is there's a difference between the two daughter-in-laws. Orpah, it says, went back to her family, and she had every right to. She had been released from her mother-in-law. But there was something about Naomi and her relationship with Ruth that went very deep. You see, Ruth realized that when she made a commitment to stay with her mother-in-law, to love her till death do her part, that she made a commitment to this family and she was going to stay to it. So pick up in verse 16. But Ruth replied, and so Ruth is talking to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and here's what she said. It's a verse that a lot of us hear at weddings. It's kind of funny because I don't really get the whole wedding thing. I get that it, you know, where you go, I'll go, where you lodge, your people will be my people. But the context here actually is a mother-in-law with her daughter-in-law. And here is Ruth saying this to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you. Please stop telling me to go back. And you know what I love about this? I was reading it again this morning because, you know, in this day, there was a real respect for our elders. So if a parent or someone in authority said something to you, it really wasn't typical that someone would say something back and like, oh, no, please, no. If an older person said something to you, you just respected it and you did it. But there was something here about Ruth. There's something that she challenged the authority of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she was very strong and she was very bold. And she said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn away from you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people are going to be my people. I'm going back with you, Naomi. I'm going to Bethlehem. I want to know your people. I want to know your gods. I want to be with you. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. When she made a commitment to stand with this family and this mother-in-law, she held on to her commitment, her vow, her promise. She made good at it. May the Lord deal with me. And here she kind of said to her, it was almost like she took this vow a little deeper. She said, may the Lord deal with me and ever be ever so severely if even death separates me from you. And do you feel the tension here where this young bride, this young daughter-in-law is looking at her mother-in-law and says, please stop telling me to go back. I want to go with you. I made a commitment to you. I made a vow to my husband, your son, and I'm going to stay with you. And look what it says here. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She looked at this sweet little daughter-in-law and she saw depth in her. She saw commitment in her. She saw a woman who was a woman of her word. And the Bible says she stopped urging her to go back. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women explained, can this be Naomi? Now, can't you just see this scene? It's a small little town in Bethlehem. And everyone knew that Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, and their three sons left. They had heard word that they'd married foreign wives. They heard that the husband died and the sons died. You know, little towns, you know, during this COVID period, a lot of us have been on lockdown and we've been Netflix binging. True confession here. So I've been binging in a series called When Calls the Heart on Hallmark. I'm a Hallmark junkie. And there's a series called When Calls the Heart. And it's kind of a Little House on the Prairie kind of setting. And I love it because it's pure and it's clean and there's a preacher and there's a town and there's people. But I love it because it makes me feel what Bethlehem might have been like. Because there's all the little busybodies. There's all the little women that gossip and you can't do anything where someone in the town hasn't told your business. And when I was reading this passage this morning preparing, I got this little image of Bethlehem, all the little women. Oh my goodness, Naomi's back with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Is it you? Is it true? And can't you see all the little busybodies talking about the family? And then Naomi says in verse 20, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. You know, the word Mara is a really interesting word. We actually find it the first time in the book of Exodus. When the children of Israel have made their way out and they're in this exodus, they're leaving and they're walking, trying to find the promised land, and Moses is leading them, and they're looking for water and they're looking for food, and they're actually pretty angry with God right now. And that's why I believe that Naomi's using this, because she knew the story of the exodus. And they're hungry and they're thirsty, and they come upon some water. And they're so thirsty, and they begin lapping up this water, but the water was so bitter, they called it the waters of Mara, because the word Mara means bitter, bitter waters. And that's exactly what Naomi was saying right now. I am Mara, I am bitter. And it's so beautiful, because in this story in the Exodus, Moses challenges God and said, God, why did you bring us out into this wilderness? At least we had food and water. Yes, we were slaves and we were in bondage, but at least we had food and we had water. Why did you bring us out into this wilderness to kill us? And then God said, Moses, see that tree? Take the tree and lay it over the water. So Moses picks up the tree branch and he puts it into the water. And then he says, tell the people to drink. And the people begin again to lap up the water. And now the bitter waters had been turned into sweet water. It was so sweet. It was so good. It quenched their thirst. And this is the first picture that we have of the tree of life. Jesus is the tree of life. It was the tree of Calvary that Jesus would die on. And I'm telling you what, when you hit bitter waters in your life, you need to lay the tree of life in your bitterness. You need to understand that Jesus came. He came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And this is what Mara means, bitterness. And this is what Naomi was feeling. She was referring to the bitter waters of Mara. Let me ask you, are you bitter right now? Are you angry right now? Are you questioning right now? Let the tree of life take over the bitterness in your life. So Naomi, in verse 22, returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, and arriving in Bethlehem. Now listen to this. As the barley harvest was beginning. Don't miss that. You see, as you read through the Word of God, it's so easy to read a scripture and just see it in the context of history or a story. But this was specifically put here because here is this woman talking about how she's bitter, she's angry. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. I've come back home, but I have nothing. I am broken. I don't even know why my daughter-in-law came with me. And the Word of God always gives us a good word if you're looking for it. Look what it says. Arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This was the beginning of harvest. This was the beginning of good seed. God had not abandoned her. God had given her a preparation. He brought her back home and he had given her hope. And we're going to see that in the weeks to come, how God had made preparation before there was ever a crisis. I love this quote by Norman Vincent Peale. He said, it's always too early to quit. It's always too early to quit. God was preparing a beautiful seed for Naomi that she knew not of, and it would be the seed of the lineage of Jesus Christ that would come from her during this bitter time in her life. Today, I want to talk to you about be the girl that's committed. Be the girl that's committed. You know, when I started working on this message, something hit me, and I want to be very honest with you guys. I want to share a story that's very personal to me, but I think it really explains what this is about. When I was in college, I'd made a commitment to do a summer mission trip. And the reason I want to tell you this story, it was a commitment that I didn't stay with. It was a commitment that I broke. And believe me, it haunts me a lot in my life. There's times where I have flashbacks in my life, because when I think about commitment, I think about a commitment that I didn't keep. And so during college, we were invited to be a part of a mission trip during the summer. And I was so excited. I grew up on mission trips. My first mission trip was when I was 13 years old to the country of Haiti, and it changed my life. And I had done mission trips to many places around the world. So I was so excited, and I'd signed up in college to do a mission trip. And so I was actually selected to go and do summer missions in Jacksonville, Florida. And I had the privilege of doing what was called beach ministry, meaning that I literally was going to walk the beach of Jacksonville, Florida with tracks and Bibles. And through the summer, we would just witness to people on the beach. So it was a pretty cool mission trip, and I was pretty excited. But I'd signed up for it at the beginning of the semester. And through that semester, I'd become engaged to my husband, Phil, and we had decided to get married, and we were so excited. So I'd kind of forgotten about my commitment as the semester went on. And then by the time the semester was toward the end, we were having to meet and come together and get our assignments and make plans for our summer mission trip. But I had lost passion. I'd lost interest because now I had a new heart. I had an excited heart about getting ready to get married and marry my husband and go off to seminary. And so we were going to be married in September and then make our way to seminary in New Orleans. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to go on the mission trip. I didn't want to do it. All I could think about was Phil, but I had made the commitment and I really couldn't get out of it. So he made his way back to Denver, Colorado, where he was working, doing construction to make money so we could get married in September and then start seminary. And we were excited. He was going to Denver. I was going to Jacksonville. But he said things to me like, you know, babe, I really don't think that you should do this mission trip. I mean, it's your last summer home with your mom and dad and sisters. And don't you need to be planning the wedding? I mean, we're going to be married in a few months. Don't you have a lot of preparations? Now, truth be told, I'm not so sure he wanted me to do a mission trip on the beach in my swimsuit, if you get my drift. We're engaged now, and he wanted me to only have eyes for one man. So I think there was a little motive to him trying to talk me out of it. But the truth is, I didn't want to go. Because going meant that I wouldn't be able to talk to him every day. I mean, this was before cell phones, and I was in different homes every night, and we would lose touch, other than writing old school letters like we had to do back then. And so I went ahead and made my commitment. I got to Jacksonville. I got my assignment. I had made some new friends. I'm walking the beach. I'm witnessing to people on the beach. I'm having a good time. But listen to me. I lost the joy of my commitment. I lost the joy of saying I would do what I said I would do. Because all I could think about was Phil. All I could think about was my wedding. All I could think about was my family. So I began not feeling well. I began not eating much, and my stomach started hurting, and I didn't want to do the work. And within about 2 weeks, I started getting an ulcer. And I think it's because I was worried, and I wasn't eating, and I was full of stress, and I had to go to the clinic, and then I had to talk to the family that I was staying with, and then they had to call the organization that I was in the ministry with, and I was saying, I really don't feel good. And then they called me in, and I said, I really think I need to go home. And listen to me. I began making excuses where I should have had a commitment because I had lost the love of my commitment. And you know, I ended up only staying 2 weeks. They allowed me to go home, and I went home, and I justified it, and that I wanted to be with my mom and my dad and my sisters, and I wanted to plan my wedding, and I wanted to be on the phone with my fiance every night. But let me tell you what it did. I lost the opportunity to lead people to Christ on that mission field. I lost the opportunity that I could have had meeting new missionary friends and staying in homes. And to be honest with you, what I lost was some of my integrity, my self-integrity to myself, that I didn't follow through with a commitment. Now, at that time, I was only 19 years old. I was just turning 20 and getting ready to get married in a few months. But it stayed with me that I broke a vow, that I broke a promise, that I broke a commitment. And I want to ask you right now, the beautiful thing about knowing Jesus Christ and having a relationship with Him is He doesn't bring guilt. There's no guilt with God. God doesn't hold that over me and say, Tammy, I'm so disappointed with you. And gosh, look what you did. And do you know where you could be today had you followed through with that commitment? God doesn't do that. But we do that to ourselves. And there are times that I think I could have met a new friend or led someone to Christ. So there is something in me that says I didn't follow through with that commitment. And I think it's hurt me. Every time you don't honor a commitment that you've made to yourself or someone else, it's a message to your subconscious mind and to the world around you that you can't be trusted and that your word doesn't mean much. Now that may seem harsh to you, and I want to be a life coach to you. I want to be a pastor to you. And I don't want to just make it easy. I don't want to just smooth over every commitment that you've made and just say, it didn't work out, it wasn't the thing for you. I want to hold you accountable to the commitments that you've made. If you say that you're going to take a child somewhere to do something. You're going to babysit a friend's child, or you're going to make a cake for the bake sale, or you're going to help out the women's ministry, or you tell your child you're going to do something. My friend, you need to do it. You need to honor your commitment. You need to honor your promise. So what I want to talk to you about today is steps to consider on how to hold steadfast to your commitment. The first thing, and please write these down, these coaching tools and tips and strategies I give you are here to help you. And I pray that you write these down. I think they're good and they'll take you deeper in your personal life. So the first one is, listen, stop and think before you make a commitment. Stop and think before you make a commitment. Once you make a commitment, others are depending on you. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no, thank you, I can't help with this, I'm sorry, I can't commit to this. Listen to me, girlfriend, if you can't commit, say no. Don't just try to be in the in crowd and then just slip out. If you can't do it, don't do it. Here's what I like to say no to everything that's not a personal conviction or passion. Don't say yes to everything. Matthew 5:37 says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Isn't that an interesting passage? Matthew 5:37, just say yes or say no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Hey, don't just try to look good because everybody else is saying they'll join the committee and help out and you don't want to look like you're lazy or you don't help. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. You look worse off if you don't follow through with a commitment than saying that you'll do it and not. So first of all, make sure that you only say yes to the things that you should do. Number two, expect the best. Expect the best. Listen to this. Put complete trust and faith in the commitments that you make. That will encourage you to focus on long-term. Listen, this is so good. When you say yes to something, see through the whole process, stay excited through the whole process, expect the best through the whole thing. It's not just getting to the end result, it's enjoying every step of the process. We're in the middle of doing our women's conference right now. So we have several weeks and we're preparing and planning and posting, and many of you are helping us with this right now. You guys, it's the journey of the process to get to the end result of our women's conference, February 27th. The conference is, yeah, that is the gangbuster, that's the grand finale, that's the event. But do you realize it's the process of all the commitments that everything you've all told me you'll help me with, I'll post, I'll invite, I'll volunteer, I'll help with product, I'll help with registration, all the things that we're doing with the commitments that you've made to help with this conference, this is the journey to get there. Make sure that you enjoy the whole journey, not just the end result. Got it? Number three, be honest and transparent with your input. Hey guys, if you're going to be a part of making a commitment to something, be involved in it. If there's something that you can say, if there's something that you see, if there's a value add that you have, as you know, I value everything you guys tell me. I need your feedback. I need your input. So many of you come to me and say, Pastor Tammy, have you thought of this? I've seen this platform, or here's an idea, or here's a strategy, or I've seen this done. I need your input. That's part of making a commitment to being a part of this ministry, to be a part of this conference, to be a part of anything that you value. Make sure that you're coming to it with honesty and transparency and your input. I love this verse, Proverbs 11:3. Listen, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed with duplicity. Ooh, that's so good. Guys, listen to that again. The integrity of the upright guides them. Guys, if you're going to help me build this ministry, this is our ministry. We are women of influence. So when you come and tell me that you're going to help me, I value your integrity. I value your input. It says, but the faithful are destroyed by their duplicity. It doesn't help me if you volunteer to help and you don't follow through. I need you to stay focused and committed to the ministry and honor your promise. And then number four, be sure to finish well, not just get through. Make sure you finish well. So often we feel guilty when we say yes, but then we lose energy and we lose passion and we lose drive. Guys, I want you as excited at the beginning as you are at the end. There's nothing like seeing a commitment and seeing a promise fulfilled. And so many of us get lazy. There's so many that just, they drop the ball and they lose their passion and they don't follow through. And you know what? You put yourself through so much guilt, just like my story I told you about my mission trip. So I want to encourage you to stay the course and finish. You know, I want to share this verse. I love this, 2 Corinthians 8:11. But now finish doing it also, so that just as you were in the readiness to desire it, so that it may be in the completion of your ability. Stay as excited at the beginning as you are at the end. Just as like the readiness to get started, it is in the completion to complete it. I love this quote. Listen to this. If you want to take the island, you must burn the ships. Listen, if you want to take the island, you must burn the ships. Guys, you can't have any way out. If you're going to take the island, burn the ship so you won't have any reason to leave the island. You know, I heard this story of a young boy, and I think it really makes sense on commitment. He was sitting down with his daddy at breakfast, and he said, "Daddy, we've been studying about contribution and about commitment at school, and I don't quite understand the difference between the two, contribution and commitment." And the daddy said, "Well, son, what are you eating for breakfast right now?" And the little boy looked down at his plate, and he said, "Bacon and eggs." And he said, "Well, there's the perfect example of contribution versus commitment." He said, "You see, the chicken made a contribution to your breakfast this morning, but the pig made a commitment." I love that story. The chicken contributed, he gave him an egg, but the pig, he gave his life. Let me ask you, are you making a contribution or are you making a commitment? Are you making a contribution or are you making a commitment? This is so good. I love this quote. It says, "There's a difference between interest and commitment." Now, come on, guys, I want you to think about this. Think about you. Like I said, I love being your coach and your pastor. This is a question I personally have for you. You drill deep. There's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. But when you're committed to it, you accept no excuses, only results. That was Kenneth Blanchard. I thought that was so good. You know, the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:6, listen to me, "For I am confident of this very thing." Listen, I'm confident of this very thing. The Apostle Paul saying to the church at Philippi, listen to me, "I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Jesus went through with his commitment all the way to the cross for you. He followed through with his commitment. He's a man of his word. And just like Paul says, "I'm confident of this thing, he who began a good work in you will complete it." Let me ask you, what do you need to complete right now? Where do you need to follow through with a commitment? Where is an area of your life that you said you would do something, but maybe you've dropped the ball? You see, I believe that Ruth was a woman of commitment. Let me ask you right now to begin to ask in this beautiful story of Naomi and Ruth, where do you need to pick up your commitment? You guys, I love you so much. I enjoy our study time together. I'm going to ask you right now that you would share this video. There's 8 of them in this series. We're on number 3 right now. Would you do a watch party? Would you share this via either your Instagram post or your Facebook post? Part of the commitment some of you have made is that I want to be a part of helping share this ministry. And then also, you guys, don't forget, please invite everyone you know for the Be the Girl Conference, February 27th. You guys, honestly, it is off the charts this year. Great speakers, Enneagram coaches, Kim Walker Smith to teach us on worship, a lot of fun surprises I have for you. Many of us have not gathered for a long time, and we need to come together as the church. So whether you want to watch us via live stream virtually, we have that opportunity, or if you want to come in-house, or you can be in our pavilion where you can sit outside and social distance, we've thought of every single woman, and we've made it available for you to join us. So get your tickets, womenofinfluence.today. Make sure you get your tickets. We've got some specials going on right now too. Love you guys. Share these videos. Have a great week. I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Have a great day. God bless.
In a world that is ever-changing and fast-moving, we understand that it can be hard to keep up with the times. What was in vogue yesterday is no longer today, and the future seems to be riding the coattails of social media. Illness, politics, and technology seem to have temporarily taken over the world. But one thing remains constant. God is in control. The future is now. Be the girl.